How you doing? This is Speedy Claxton, and you're listening to The Jake Brown Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded live from the Ringer.com studios in the heart of New York City, it's The Jake Brown Show. And now, here's your host, Jake Brown.
Wow, what an intro. Something new this week. Seth Nyman on the ones and twos and the voiceover extraordinaire. This is The Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com podcast network. Subscribe on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, write a review while you're at it. If you're a Spotify user, you'll catch us there. And if you're a rare Stitcher user, you'll find us there as well. At Jake Brown Radio, at Jake Brown Show. A lot to get into today. Speedy Claxton, NBA champion and Hofstra assistant basketball coach, will be on the second half of the show. Really good interview with Speedy, talking about his time with the Spurs, winning a championship, coming in for Tony Parker and having the game of his life in a huge spot as I do what I do best and spill barbecue sauce on my dress shirt. He'll join us for the second half. Joining us tomorrow is the hilarious Jim Norton. It didn't get as R-rated as I would expect it to. A very chill guy, very laid-back guy. And a really good interview with him talking about comedy and how comedy has changed. People are sensitive. His love for transsexuals, which no comedian has really ever, I mean, no people really even talk about that stuff. But he is very open about his love for transgender people. And you got to respect that. And he uses it for comedy, and it works. So some good stuff with Jim Norton. You can catch that on tomorrow's episode. Next week we'll be recording, and then the following week I will be in North Carolina. So we'll make sure we have some interviews hopefully lined up for you guys to carry it over the Thanksgiving break before December hits. And as I've said before, the future is unknown of the show. Who knows where it will go, if it will go. So cherish these final potential episodes. Again, I say potential, you never know, of the Jake Brown Show. Some news to start before we get into a pretty interesting week in the NFL. Eric Bledsoe on the move to the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Bucks thinking here, you know what? The Cavs are slipping. The Cavs have not looked good without Kyrie Irving. We got a shot here with a young team and a superstar who's not rising. He just is a superstar. In every facet of the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Could be wrong on the pronunciation, but I'm as close as I can get there. Who just looks incredible. Malcolm Brogdon in there. You have Chris Middleton in there. And now you bring in a guard who is underrated in Eric Bledsoe, a guy who could score the rock, and a guy who's super talented, and put him around these cast of characters. And the Milwaukee Bucks are a team that you would not be shocked if they made the Eastern Conference Finals. Would I be shocked if they made the NBA Finals? You better believe it, because they're still young and they still need to grow, and Thon Maker needs to show us, you know what, he was a top 10 pick. This Maker guy needs to make a name for himself, pun intended, but he hasn't done that yet. And until he does, until they have that established big man, I can't say the Bucks are going to the finals, but they're very much improved. And trading Greg Monroe, who they weren't going to bring back, and Greg Monroe has kind of regressed in Milwaukee, along with the first and second round pick, is fair. When you think about the Bucks potentially being a top five team in the East, their pick isn't going to be in the top 15, maybe not even in the top 20. I mean, you would think it's definitely not going to be in the top 20. You think they'll be a top 10 team in the NBA where it wouldn't be that. And if that's the case, it's a great deal.
Are you eating on your show?
I always do that.
That's
usually. I think Corson
that's why
actually.
You're not going to have a show anymore.
That's not true. I think Corson, it's part of my shtick, just Chick-fil-A. It's every show is Chick-fil-A.
You should chip in and sponsor your show.
I know, I wish. I think Corson actually threw out the chicken finger I left, but oh well. I was going to give the nuggets to Jim Norton, but he was not a nugget fan. But it's Chick-fil-A, man, every week. Got to have it. So we'll see, but I think the Cavs, you have to be alarmed. If you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, the only reason you're alarmed right now is because Kyrie Irving is just running a hell of a show in Boston. And the Celtics have won 9 straight games. Meanwhile, the Cavaliers have lost 6 games. to teams who will probably not make the playoffs. They've lost to the Magic, the Nets, the Pelicans, the Pacers, and most recently, the freaking Atlanta Hawks, who could be the worst team in the NBA. Crazy to think that because the Hawks are recently a playoff team. The Hawks are clearly rebuilding, and they lost to the Hawks. Not only did they lose to the Hawks, they lost to the Hawks in Cleveland. And we talked about this with Speedy. Isaiah Thomas is on the floor. We know he makes a huge difference. We know Isaiah Thomas on the floor is going to mean this team's going to win more games. Derrick Rose ain't doing much, folks. Jose Calderon ain't doing much. LeBron James is trying to carry a ship. And you can clearly see he's frustrated. You see he gets mad. He says, I don't want to point names. He's frustrated with the guys around him. He's mad that Kyrie's not here. And it's so early that I still think the Cavs are probably going to win the East. But it shows you that Isaiah Thomas coming back from a hip injury, who knows what he's going to be, and even if he's good, it's very hard to say if this team would get past the Warriors in the finals. It's almost impossible to say it right now. So that's the early NBA storyline, is a little overreaction. A little bit of, oh, the Cavs even be a top seed? Maybe they get the two, Celtics get the one. I don't think that shocks anyone. I don't think anyone is going to say, I'm stunned that the Celtics are better. I mean, the Celtics, even without Gordon Hayward, are very good. And it's weird to see them just dominate when you lose a superstar on opening night, and they're just running through teams. They're just running through their schedule. You wonder how they'll do in the playoffs with Gordon gone. But Kyrie's saying, guys, we ain't got no problems. They really don't. The Celtics right now, man. They gotta be. Because they're young. They have solid depth. They're seeing the growth of a guy like Jaylen Brown, who they really needed to step up with Gordon Hayward down. Seeing the growth of Marcus Smart, who they needed to step up. And everyone's stepping up. I think it makes it very intriguing. I mean, I love to see that it's not the obvious Cavs, Warriors. We're seeing a little shift in the armor. And I think the NBA needs that in the regular season. They need things like this to happen for the regular season. I mean, everyone says the regular season, the NBA doesn't matter. We know the results. And I think things like the Pistons being 7-3. I think things like my New York Knicks winning 5 of their last 6. Now the 6th seed in the East. And I don't look at the standings. I checked them today just because I was curious how some of these other teams are doing. But to see the Knicks in the 6th, the Sixers in the 7th in there, the Magic at 6-4. I don't think the Magic or Pistons will be anywhere near the top there. Both of them, it would still be a somewhat of a surprise if they get in. The Pistons might get the 8th seed or one of those bottom seeds. But these things are fun. And I think the Knicks are really fun to watch right now. And that's why I'm dressed up. Credentialed will be covering the game for the Knicks blog with SNY. So make sure you follow us there. Follow along. I really would like to ask Kristaps Porzingis how his DM game is going. Did he ever get with Abigail Ratchford after sending her those eye emojis? Now, if you don't know Abigail Ratchford, she is a model with a very large breast. I mean, just ridiculous size. And Kristaps was all up in there. And I'm curious. I don't know. I'll ask that. I mean, knowing me, I'll be like, oh my goodness, it's freaking Kristaps Porzingis. This guy is a Porzingod. But I'm curious, does the MVP play make Porzingis an MVP DM slider? Has his confidence shot to another level now that he's just running through the NBA? And Kristaps Porzingis, folks, say all you want about it being early for fans to chant MVP. If the season ended today, he's probably the NBA MVP. He is playing just absurdly good. Add 6 block shots the other night. In a game, if you're a Knicks fan, I was almost in tears. It was incredible. Down 19. They come back. The team shows heart in the fourth quarter. And they end up winning by 7. It's not like they just won by 1. They won by 7. What a just remarkable performance. And I'm not saying the Pacers are that great of a team, but to come back in that game that you look down and out, Pacers were hitting every shot. They shot around 52% from the field in the first half. The Knicks looked like they were dead in the water. And then they come back thanks to him and thanks to the French Prince, Frank Ntilikina. And Frank Ntilikina, when he gets confidence, when Ntilikina starts shooting with confidence like he did late in that game, the Knicks realize, you know what? They have a couple of pieces here, and they're building correctly. And Ntilikina is a big part of it. We know Porzingis now. He's the face of the team. He's a superstar, a potential MVP candidate. He needs pieces around him. If Ntilikina could become something, there's another piece. Enes Kanter, remarkable. The guy's had a 19 and 18 rebound game. He's averaging a double-double, and he's unstoppable when you give him the ball in the low post. He's backing in guys and just making it look easy. That front court of those two in the post has been good, pretty good defensively, and they've been good in the glass, and they've certainly been good scoring the rock. Now you focus on the point guard position. And in a couple days, in a week, the Knicks will have a decision to make. Joakim Noah returns from his 20-game suspension, the first 12 he sat out this year. It'll be, I believe, two more after tonight. The Knicks are 5-4, so Noah will be out today, and then two more games. That's when the Knicks say, you know what, we need to make a decision. Do we try and trade or drop Kuzminskis? Do we waive Ramon Sessions? What do we do? Honestly, I think if Ntilikina is healthy, which he is, I think the obvious decision would be to, well, first off, you try and trade Kuzminskis. The problem is no one's going to trade you a second-round pick, I don't think, right now for a guy who hasn't played this year, who has 1 year under his belt, who's only a three-point shooter. But Kuzminskis is young and has something to build over his future. Ramon Sessions is not a part of the future team's plans. He's an average backup point guard who, while he was on the floor this year for the Knicks, they were terrible, and he hasn't played since. Since Jarrett Jack has played, the Knicks have been one of the best teams in the league. Jarrett Jack being inserted in the starting lineup is when this team turned that 0-3 start around. They're 5-1 since Jarrett Jack has stepped in the court. Their only loss came to Houston, and that's understandable. That includes a win over the Cavaliers. So I think the obvious move would be to waive Ramon Sessions. Veteran minimum, makes around $2 million. He doesn't do much for this team. You have Ntilikina, you have Jack, and you have Ron Baker. If one of those guys goes down, you have a third point guard in Ron Baker. And if one of those guys goes down, you have other guys you can call upon in the G League. It's weird saying the G League. It's new to me. But if you are a Knicks fan, you have to be happy what you're seeing. I'm looking forward to tonight. You got my two kind of hometown teams, the Knicks and the Hornets. I'll be down in Charlotte seeing the Hornets soon, so I get a little sneak peek of them tonight. And Jeff Hornacek's job is being saved right now. I mean, there was an 0-3 star, and I had to write about it. Were the Knicks the worst team in the NBA? And based on what you had watched those first three games, you had to say it. I mean, I'm not dumb for them turning it around now. It's just the first three games, the Knicks were not competitive, and they were terrible in every aspect of the game. I'm surprised how good they've been at the turnaround, but I did expect them to turn it around. The Knicks were not going to be that team all year. And Jarrett Jack has been a big part of it. And he's a distributor. He's a veteran. He's helping Ntilikina. And once Nilakina's confidence grows, as I said, the Knicks will grow. Because, I mean, you would assume that there's nights that Kristaps Porzingis is not going to score 30. Right now, I can't assume that because 7 of the 9 games he scored 30-plus. The last game he had a career-high 40. The game before he had a previous career-high in 38, which means tonight he'll probably have a new career-high and score 42 with the way it's going. But, I mean, the law of physics, the law of basketball tells you that this is probably going to be nights Porzingis is not on and his shot is not on. I can't even guarantee you that. But you're just going to assume, and if that's the case, the Knicks are going to need other guys to step up. And stepping up starts with the point guard position. Stepping up starts with a distributor. Jarrett Jack has been a distributor. Once Ntilikina gets consistent 25 minutes a game, He's going to have to knock down shots. He bricked two free throws last game. He's going to have to start making free throws. And he's going to have to show us he was worthy of that eighth pick in the first round. Because people are going to say, the naysayers will say they should have picked Dennis Smith Jr. They should have picked Malik Monk. And that's fair. But Sunday was that first step. And Ntilikina, you know what? Big, gut-wrenching shot, 99-99. He makes a three-pointer that turns out to be end up being the game winner to put them up 102-99. They go on to win 108-101. And that shot was the first stepping stone for him to gain that confidence to become a point guard, the future point guard of these New York Knickerbockers. And that fan base, that place was electric on Sunday. And if I get anything like near that tonight, I'm excited. Because the Garden Sunday, you could just hear, I wasn't there, but you could just hear it rocking like the Patrick Ewing days. And I'm not going to compare this team to that team, obviously. I mean, there's a decent chance the Knicks don't make the playoffs. But if they could rock the Garden like the Ewing, Allen, Houston, Latrell, Sprewell days, that's wonderful considering the Jets season is... Jets aren't making the playoffs. The Giants season is just a disaster, and we'll get into that. We'll transition to that after this and the week that was in the NFL. And Ben McAdoo is lucky he is not joining me in collecting unemployment. I mean, you think he'll have a decent severance plan, but who knows, considering he's only been with the Giants a year and a half. But Ben McAdoo has lost entire control of that team. And for anyone who says otherwise, they're fools. He lost 51-17. The team gave up on him. He's had guys leave practice. They've quit. On the other end, Sean McVay has the L.A. Rams as a major contender that we cannot sleep on. A team that I slept on before the season. And as we say, as millennials will say, or anyone will say, stay woke. Stay woke on the L.A. Rams, who are leading the AFC West. And McVay, a young coach who's doing a good job. Ben McAdoo, a fairly young coach. Benny with the good hair, who's doing a terrible job. This is the Jake Brown Show. You catch him on podcast.radio.com/Jake Brown. iTunes and Spotify. Seth Nyman was on the intro voiceover, booming voice from Seth. A fellow bald man himself.
Oh, thanks for pointing that out.
Yes. How often do you shave your head?
Just when I get bored, just annoyed by the hair growing back, so I try to take the accountant look away. Yeah, when I start looking like an accountant, that's when I shave my head.
Yes. Do I look like an accountant right now? How does the accountant look?
It's the horseshoe, you know? With the glasses and the horseshoe.
Horseshoe.
Yeah.
Okay, horseshoe, so you watching Practical Jokers?
I know the show, I haven't watched
it. Do you know Murrah, the bald guy? He has like kind of the horseshoe. He has a little strip.
Yeah.
Some people need to realize it's time. Tiger Woods needs to realize it's time.
It's over.
Yeah. I realized it young. I realized it 26, so I think last year. So I was like 25 when I realized it. That's a pretty young age to realize, hey, time to go bald.
I held on for a while.
How long?
I first started noticing in my 20s, but I went on Propecia and all that, and I held on for a while where I was passable, and then the last couple of years, like, I just couldn't do it anymore.
Did that stuff work, Propecia?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you still just were like, too much?
Having kids and everything else, and it's expensive. And just,
you ever tried Rogaine?
Yeah, I did that too. Propecia works better. But it's a drug you're putting in your body too, so I probably took 20 years off my life with the drug. It was worth it for the extra 10 years of hair.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to get a wig.
I enjoy the bald look. The only thing is just I never now shave it. I go to the barber once a week now, and it's expensive. But like, so are razors. And also, I always end up like cutting myself or I miss a spot. Mm. The barber, they do it great. I have a barber I go to a store. He does the smooth shave. You shape up the beard when you have it.
It's because you're bald. I can't go to a barber. It's expensive.
I know. I'm not. That's the issue. It's expensive. I mean, it ends up being $100 a month after tip. But I mean, it's $18 tip. I usually give like
shave
22.
It yourself.
I know. I was, but I just, it's so much better. It's smoother at the barbershop.
Yeah.
Those razors aren't even cheap these days. Expensive. Like a pack of four is like $20, I feel like.
You could use it more than once.
Yeah, but it only lasts like twice on your head. Because I would do it once every 3 days about. Now I go to the barber once a week, so it's like I shave it once every
seven. I buzz it with the clippers first,
hmm.
And then I'll shave it.
I need to get one of those things like the circle. This looks funny on the camera. Yeah. It's like churning butter. Like it has that big circle thing and you just go around Flo-by? It. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Flo-by? We're just giving out free sponsors on this thing.
Yes.
Flo-by. Send me
Chick-fil-A, a shaver. Flo-by.
Yeah. Well, Chick-fil-A doesn't need. So, I mean, they have so much.
They're so good. They close on Sundays.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the day I want it sometimes. Like football Sundays, Chick-fil-A is great. So I just go with pizza.
All the good foods, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you will never find a carrot in my mouth any day of the week, or any vegetable.
Consider
really.
A carrot once in a while.
I don't like carrots. I hate carrot. I won't eat broccoli or carrots. I hate them.
Okay.
I'll eat zucchini.
Zucchini.
Zucchini's not bad, and I like it like grilled. Like I like Benihana vegetables. Like Benihana
cooked. Like salt and like oil on them.
Yeah. Even my vegetables, I like unhealthy. Yeah.
Fry my vegetables. I'll eat them.
That's all. I'm trying to think about other.
I like jalapeno.
I
poppers.
Guess I'll eat. I won't eat. I guess I like peas, but peas don't do much for me.
Right.
Asparagus, not really.
You got a good 10 years before you have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Once I'm in my 30s, once I'm like married or have a girl who could will cook those things for me. For now, I can't cook them. I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm just gonna continue the Chick-fil-A and the pizza and chicken parm heroes.
Attaboy, good for you.
Because I'm gonna live my life. If I was to cut 10 years off because I ate bad, you know what? I ate 10 years of freaking good food.
Did you just say YOLO, basically?
Yeah.
Right, nice. Good for you.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Becoming a millennial.
Oh, yeah.
I still say YOLO, but YOLO has kind of become like if you say it now, horrible. People judge you. But I still like the phrase, but people will judge you like, you still say YOLO? Like, in my age, it's like, all right, that's so 2015, bro.
And you can't even prove that you only live once.
Yeah, that's true. You never know anymore these days. We'll get into football now, and before we get into football, thoughts and prayers with everyone that we lost in Texas in another unfortunate situation. And it's like 3 attacks in the last month we've had go on, and this one in a church in a small town where we lost 4% of the community. And I don't want to get all political, but I mean, if gun control isn't an issue, I don't know what is. Like, if that hasn't become an issue, like... It's been taken to a new level where you can't even feel safe going to freaking church. That's bothersome. When you're out in public and you don't feel safe anywhere, who knows if it'll ever change? At this rate, you don't think so. But how many times do we have to say thoughts and prayers? So it's scary. And it's scary that it happened in such a small town where you just wouldn't expect it in Texas. A population of, what was it, under 1,000 people. It was like 600 people or something. Very small town. And, condolences to families. I mean, I saw some of the pictures and, like, little girls and children that we lost, and it's so, so, so sad. It really is. So thinking about them and also the people we lost. We were recording when it happened last week. The people we lost in our own city, in New York City, in Tribeca. Just horrible. Just horrible. And the story came out. Tony Reale actually lived there, ESPN, and he was live on the air doing Around the Horn and left on air to figure out if his kid and his wife was okay. Scary situation. We talked before about Ben McAdoo and the Giants, how good the Rams have been. Before we go around the NFL a bit, I want to get into a new segment this week, and it is called
Fly Up or Get Flown Over.
First up this week, as we go, before we go around the NFL, we got to
fly up or get flown over.
We got to fly up for the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, we're flying high as a legit Super Bowl contender. The Eagles win again, dominant fashion against the Broncos on Sunday. They are now 8-1. And yes, 51-23 victory, by the way. They are a Super Bowl contender because Carson Wentz is a legit MVP. Jay Ajayi just got here a couple days ago, already had a nice debut and ran for a touchdown. The Wentz-Alshon Jeffrey connection has been good. Jeffrey's catching balls. He's playing, and he's healthy. And the Eagles look unstoppable on both ends. Their defense is great. They're not turning it over. They have Blunt and Ajayi in the backfield. They have Aguilar. They have Ertz. They have Jeffrey. And they have a guy who you can't argue could be the MVP, or at least in the top 3, in Carson Wentz. You got to fly up for the Philadelphia Eagles because this is a team that is starving, literally starving for a Super Bowl. Have never won in their franchise history. And this is the first year where, you know what? The NFC is wide open. And the Eagles are the best team in it. So why not, if you're an Eagles fan, believe Philly is rocking right now. We got to fly up for the Philadelphia Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. Number two.
Fly up or get flown over.
We're flown over on Ben McAdoo. I talked about it before. This team has given up. The Giants are the worst team in the league right now. They're next to the 49ers. They're in the Browns. I guess like they might be worse. But the Giants are getting embarrassed more than those teams. At least those teams are competing. Players are quitting in practice. DRC didn't show up. Left to practice. Got in an argument with McAdoo. If this guy is back, there will be riots if Ben McAdoo is back next season. He shouldn't be back for this week. And he keeps saying the team is practicing good. We had our best practice this week. You gave up 51 points to a good team, but a team at home, the Giants at home, you should at least compete. And it's gotten ugly for them. And the Giants are now 1-7. And you figure it might even get worse. And Jerry Reese might be there with them. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Flown over on Ben McAdoo, Jerry Reese, and really the entire Giants team. We're flying over you guys. We're not flying up on you. Number three on my list.
Fly up or get flown over.
Fly up. Drew Brees. The Eagles have won. The Saints have won six in a row. The Saints lost their first two games of the year. We talked about it on this show. We don't know what their identity was. We just don't know. We talked with former Saint Mike Carney. We talked with former tight end Randy McMichael. We talked with these former players about this, and we weren't sure who the Saints were. Carney was a former all-pro fullback for the Saints, and he had no idea what to make of this team. No idea. Now, 6-2, Drew Brees playing an elite level of football. And you talk about the NFC wide open. The Saints are right there towards the top. They could be one of these top three teams. Drew Brees, on his career, next week, it'll be either 2 or 3 weeks, will get the milestone. 69,000 career passing yards. Nice. He's almost there. He's 675 yards away from 69,000. So do your thing, Drew Brees. The Saints are surprising us. We'll see with their defense. They have Lattimore, who's been an incredible cornerback and rookie of the year candidate. He won't get it, obviously, with an offensive player. I mean, Deshaun Watson would have, and just horrible, and we'll get into that, losing him. Just horrible that we lost him for the year. And that's going to be our next one on this list. Number four.
Fly up or get flown over.
Flown over, man. The Texans quarterbacks, I mean, what is this organization doing? Basically quitting. Quitting on the season by throwing Tom Savage out there. They go out and sign TJ Yates and Matt McGloin. There's a reason we're saying it over and over and over again. Colin Kaepernick is better than these scrubs. And he is. The thought of him being blackballed is basically becoming a reality if you're going to go sign TJ Yates and Matt McGloin. And it showed. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Colts with Tom Savage, who hasn't thrown a touchdown pass. I mean, when Tom Savage plays and starts, the Texans lose. He was never ready to be a starter. He was never that good. And in a division that honestly is open, I know what the Jaguars are doing. I know that the Jaguars are 5-3 and the Titans are 5-3. But there's a decent chance that you go eight wins or nine wins and win that division. And the Texans are throwing that out the window by throwing at Tom Savage, a quarterback who's not going to keep you competitive. And I know Watson's the future, and I know you lost J.J. Watt, but don't do this to your fans. Don't throw Tom Savage, T.J. Yates, and Matt McGloin, those cast of characters, because I'm not going to call them anything more than that. Do not throw them out for eight more games. Maybe they think because the Astros just won the World Series, and congrats to them, they could just football, they throw it out the window. Maybe they think because the Rockets are probably going to have a good year, they could throw it out the window. But go get yourself a better quarterback. There's a guy out there. And who knows with the owner, with what he said about inmates running the system, if he's going to want Kaepernick. Because with a statement like that, you think he's not going to sign him. Texans quarterbacks, Texans ownership, flowing over you guys.
Fly up or get flown over.
Those are the four fly up or get flown over this week. And in the rest of football this week, last night was a doozy, man. I was at the movies. I was checking for the over-under. What a crazy ending if you bet on that one. 42.5 was the over-under. It was at 40. And on the final play, a play that didn't matter, they call a pass interference in the end zone of the Lions. The Packers get it at the one-yard line, and they run it in with zero on the clock and an untimed play to hit the over. The movie was ending, and I'm on NFL Mobile with this girl, and she keeps saying, like, there were times throughout the movie I'm checking the score. I'm like, all right, what's the score going to be? And they scored the buzzer. And as the credits roll, they scored the buzzer, and the movie ends, and I just pump my fist. The over is hit. What a wild finish. I mean, that touchdown meant nothing. They could have kneeled at the Packers. I mean, they scored. They made it 30-16, and then they had to kick the meaningless extra point. Maybe that point, anyone who owned Mason Crosby, maybe they got a fantasy win out of it. I won all three of my fantasy leagues this week. I hit a four-team $35 parlay to win $300. Last week, I went 13-0, perfect against the spread. Unfortunately, won really nothing out of that. I mean, if you parlay that, I wouldn't be. I would have been on an island, and I'd be in Cancun or something right now if I did that. 13-0 against the spread. These lines were from Tuesday, early in the week lines, but I don't think I've ever had a week I've gotten perfect against the spread. So I was pretty hyped about that. And that parlay came down to the Ravens scoring a garbage time. They scored a touchdown. They needed an extra point. They cover +3.5 on a late touchdown with under a minute. And then Justin Tucker tried an onside kick with his left foot. That didn't work out too well. But that touchdown put it over. And then I had the Panthers +3.5. And that leads me to that game. What's going on with the Falcons? I don't know. But it's one of those years, a Super Bowl hangover, it's looking like. Even the Falcons and their wins haven't been convincing. This team is not good. Because they're not even scoring. And that's alarming. They were 2-0. Excuse me, they were 3-0 to start the year. First game they won because the Bears kept dropping passes to end the game with Michael Lennon. Second game against the Packers, they won pretty convincingly. Third game, they lost because of that rule, the Golden Tate touchdown that got called off. Then lost to the Bills. They lost to the Dolphins. They lost easily to the Patriots. Should have lost to the Jets, a game that the Jets found a way to lose. They barely squeezed by the Jets. And then they lose to the Panthers without Kelvin Benjamin. And Cam Newton looked good. Christian McCaffrey had a nice game, finally. And they're going to need it. Jonathan Stewart fumbled it twice early, yet the Panthers still won that game. When they were up 20-10, the Falcons scored, and they had a ball chance to win it. They don't get it done. So the Falcons' offense, not too shabby. 17 points, 25 against the Jets, 7 against the Pats, 17 against the Dolphins, 17 against the Bills. It's surely looking like the Falcons aren't going to get to the playoffs. And they surely do have the talent to. But we'll see now. Because at 4-4, you can't be too convinced. And give the Panthers credit, man. They lose Kelvin Benjamin. They still go out and win. And they're 6-3. And the Panthers are very much in this race in the NFC. I talked about earlier the Saints. They look good against the Bucks, blowing them out. They've won six straight, 0-2 start, now 6-2, leading that division at 6-2. The Bucks at 2-6, and now Jameis Winston out a few weeks. If you got him on your fantasy team, you better drop him immediately. He's out 2 weeks, but who knows if he'll come back in 2 or 3 weeks and how good he'll be. He has been bad, and I had a job. He's my backup. I'm trying to pick up actually McCown to make a spot start for me this week with Alex Smith on bye. But the Bucks have been just awful. Speaking of Alex Smith, that was an entertaining game. Big part of that entertainment as the Chiefs fell to the Cowboys, 28-17. The Chiefs now 6-3, Cowboys 5-3. Ending the first half, Tyreek Hill, they were at their own 40. The Cowboys had like six defenders near the end zone, and Tyreek Hill ran past them all. They threw about a 20-yard pass. He took in another 30 yards or whatever it was, got past the whole defense, and after they were down 14-3, they score at the buzzer to end the first half to make it 14-10. Cowboys still end up winning, but boy, oh boy, that was remarkable how Tyreek Hill pulled that off. The Cowboys' defense seemed like they were already in the locker room with zero left. They didn't. They just left. Those bodies that were on the field were invisible, and Tyreek Hill ran through them. Zeke played well. How much longer will they have Zeke? Who knows anymore? I cannot follow these court rulings. Just suspend him already. He's going to get the suspension. If you're the Cowboys, you would think if you're going to have it, you kind of want it now, so you maybe have him for the last game or two. At 5-3, if he were to sit the next six, you would have him for the last two games of the season. I mean, they're trying to ride it out as long as they can here so they can win these games. It shows you how scared they are if they do lose them. That Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden, respectable running backs, respectable names, guys who were starters, they're worried that this is a huge step below those guys. The Chiefs are human. They lost. And Alex Smith, his first interception since the Obama presidency. His first pick of the year. Hadn't thrown one since last year. And he finally showed us, hi, guys, I am human. I am Alex Smith. And the Chiefs finally lose one. Sticking with the AFC West, the Raiders get by the Dolphins in a game that got closer than it should have. And you got to love that Marshall Newhouse fumble. The helicopter play. This is why offensive linemen don't run up the field. He ran up the field and got his Bo Jackson on. I mean, Marshall Newhouse thought he was like Emmett Smith. He picks up that fumble and then runs up the field. Then like a flying saucer, like a Frisbee, just goes flying like this in a rotating circle. Ball's loose and they fumble it. But the Raiders win. And the Raiders, boy, did they need that win to save their season. Keeping their slim playoff hopes alive at 4-5. The Dolphins are 4-4. Dolphins aren't doing anything. They traded Jay Ajayi. Jay Cutler had good numbers. He's been serviceable. But it's very hard to see this team pull off 9 or 10 wins. They are hard to watch. The fact they have 4 wins to me is mind-boggling. Cutler throws a lot of short passes and he gets completions. Kind of pads his stats a little bit. They made it interesting there late, but the Raiders are still alive. And the Raiders are a team that I thought would probably make the AFC Championship, and they haven't. They've struggled. So we'll see with them. By the way, this lighting on the Facebook Live is just great. I mean, if I was a girl, I would Instagram this moment right now. I mean, it just makes your face look flawless with the light right on my shiny bald head. It's crazy. You know how it is, Seth, lighting these days. People are all about getting a picture in good lighting. You know how it is. You post pictures of you and your kids and stuff like that.
I wear hats.
But not just your head, just your face. Just, I mean, I don't have like pimples, but if I were to have pimples, you would have no idea with this lighting.
I'm a handsome man, so I don't have to worry about that.
Classic man.
Yes.
But it's all about the lighting here. This is the best lighting we've had in a while because usually it's a nice sunny day. It is disgusting outside right now. I think it's pouring. But yeah, anyways, the Cardinals beat the Niners. Adrian Peterson showing us, hey, I took about 10 years off my life running for over 150 yards. oldest running back to do that. Behind Drew Stanton, the Cardinals are 4-4, still alive. And we'll see what they do. Probably won't do much with Drew Stanton. And that's an interesting story because the NFC West, who knows right now? The Rams are 6-2. And what was one of the games of the week, maybe the game of the week, finish of the week, the Redskins get by the Seahawks 17-14. Russell Wilson sacked. That gets them out of field goal range. They have to throw up a Hail Mary. And there were two Seahawks right there. Jimmy Graham, I think it was Lockett or Richardson, were right there. And one of them could have grabbed that ball, and the Seahawks would have had one of those Hail Mary victories that they know oh so well. But to give the credit to the Redskins, they keep their season alive at 4-4. They probably won't do anything this year, but respect the win in Seattle. Seahawks came alive late, but again, it took them so long, and you gotta blame Blair Walsh for what he did. He was bad.
Come on, son.
Come on, Blair Walsh. You can't keep missing chippies like this because that's your reputation. You missed that big kick in the playoffs to the Vikings, and you're going to have the reputation of a bad NFL kicker. There's a lot of them these days. But if Blair Walsh is missing kicks like that in a close game, you only needed to make one, bro. You can't miss these kicks and cause your team games. When the NFC has all these teams that are playing well, you could see the Seahawks on the outside looking in if you keep doing that. I mean, 10-6 is not guaranteed to get you in. It's just not.
Nobody is safe.
Really, no one is in the NFC at this point because 10-6 isn't a lock. You could be in a tiebreaker at 10-6 and miss out on one of those wild card spots, with the way it's going now, you can see that being the case. Luckily for some of these teams, the Packers had done now. I mean, Brett Hundley was just trash last night. And they're going to have to probably get a quarterback. I'm not saying Kaepernick goes there. I think Kaepernick in Houston's the perfect fit because of that offense, the option with Deshaun Watson. It just makes sense for a team that is good enough with a quarterback. You saw how good they were with Watson scoring the ball. Have a right quarterback with that. They're pretty good defense, and the Texans are better. But, man, in the NFC, there's just so many good teams that the Seahawks might just miss out. The Jets beat the Bills on Thursday Night Football, and they dominated. Obviously, that video of their defense dancing took over the internet by storm. 4-5. You know what? The Jets could be easily 6-3. You could say they could be 7-2 with that Patriots game, but, I mean, the Patriots probably still would have found a way to win, even if they did get that call right, that Seferian Jenkins touchdown. That got overturned. I know the rule book and everything, but I still think it's a bad call. The Jets have blown fourth quarter leads. They can be 6-3. You know what? They're 4-5. They've had the peak of what we thought they would be. I don't think anyone said the Jets would win more than four games. I think I had them at two wins. They could easily maybe go 6-10, 7-9, which is shocking to some people. I think Todd Bowles might save his job with what this team has done. You wanted them to lose, but now that they're winning, you're saying to yourself, God, if they were just 6-3. They'd be in the race. And to me, just the hearing the Jets in the race and the Giants season being over is just shocking. And I root for both, so I'm not like, oh, yes, Jets are winning, Giants are losing. I'm a real fan. I root for both. And I don't think they're rivals. And this is an endless debate that I've had with people. And we talked about on the show a few weeks ago that you shouldn't be like, oh, Jets are great. Screw the Giants. I think it's good when they're both doing good. It's good for the city. We talked about the Rams destroying the Giants, and that's your week in the NFL. Coming up on the show, Speedy Claxton is going to join us. We talk about Hofstra Hoops. We talk about the Warriors, the Cavs, all that jazz. Congrats to the Astros on winning the World Series. Aaron Judge getting MLB The Show cover. We'll see if he wins MVP. My gut tells me it's going to be Altuve, I think it just because of his all-around numbers. The votes, I believe, were done before the playoffs, so I don't think them winning the World Series factors in. But I think either way, whoever wins, they deserve it. I think the Yankees without Judge are nothing. I think the Astros without Altuve are still a very good team, probably not a World Series team. But it's really the flip of a coin. I don't think Yankee fans are going to be mad if Altuve wins. I think he's such a cool player and just his style of play. And the fact that he's short and kind of an underdog makes it cool. So we'll see. Again, Jim Norton will be on the show tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Follow me at Jake Brown Radio on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow our show at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Every show, podcast, we do the Facebook Live on. You can always watch there. You can catch up and see the Wendy Williams shenanigans from last week that people were loving. So enjoy our interview with Speedy Claxton. Hofstra basketball begins this weekend. Roll Pride, and enjoy our interview with Jim Norton. Until then, we will catch you all next week. Peace. And welcome back to the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com Podcast Network, iTunes, and Spotify is where you find us. The Hofstra basketball season starting this weekend. You know I'm hyped up about that, being a Hofstra grad myself. A guy who played pretty well there, made the tournament there back in 2000, was an NBA champion with the Spurs. You know him from the NBA with the Sixers, Spurs, Warriors, Hornets, Hawks. He's the Hofstra assistant coach now. Have talked with him in the past on Brown and Scoop, and now Speedy Claxton joins the Jake Brown Show. Speedy, how's everything going, brother?
Everything's good, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Good to have you on. We were talking before about the legendary Amore Pizza, which many people just don't realize that it's so good, and because it's just like in a huge shopping center, kind of rundown shopping center next to like a McDonald's and a Dunkin' Donuts, and there it is, an iconic pizza place that's been there since 1970. I've been going there since I was a kid. Is pizza a pregame meal of yours, or what are you eating before the game?
It's not a pregame meal of mine, but it's definitely a lunch favorite. I eat it quite often.
Yeah, I mean, being from New York, I mean, it's interesting because you're from Hempstead, right? And you went to Hofstra.
Yeah, I'm originally from East Elmhurst. Moved out to Hempstead when I was about 14, and been living there ever since.
And you could hear the New York accent. You got to love it. I mean, no place better. And now you're back coaching there. You guys open the season Saturday. Or is it Friday? Friday at home versus Army?
Yeah, Friday night.
Friday night versus Army. Actually, pretty good out-of-conference game. And you play Dayton. It's next weekend, Dayton, in Charleston. And you might end up playing Clemson as well. So a couple of big out-of-conference games, a couple of big non-conference opponents here coming up for you guys to open the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we got Army to open up. Then right after that, Monday night, we have Kennesaw State coming in. Then we go down to Charleston for the Charleston Classic, and we open up against Dayton. And we got the chance to, you know, play Clemson, Auburn, Temple, ODU. I mean, it's a good feel. Definitely looking forward to the start of the season.
Is the schedule in front of you, or did you somehow memorize that off the top of your head?
It's in front of me. Okay. I'm not going
to
lie.
Just wanted to confirm, because that would have been pretty darn impressive. What's the outlook on the season? We know Rokas Gustis could end up being like the best rebounder in mid-major schools. The guy could sometimes pull down 25 boards, like Will Chamberlain-esque. What's the outlook here going into the season?
I think we're going to have a good season. Like you said, Rokas could very well lead the nation of rebounding. Mm-hmm. But then Justin Ray Fleming could also lead the nation of scoring. So we could potentially have two leading stat guys in the country, which would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Then we have Eli Pemberton, who's coming off a good freshman year, who hopefully take another leap as a sophomore and become even more of a key contributor.
Do you guys feel like, I mean, Joe Mihalik was what, this is his fifth season now with Hofstra. You guys are starting to grow here. Do you look at this as like the pinpoint the year to win the CAA? I mean, every year I think you guys are getting better. But now that you have guys that are getting older now, do you look at this year kind of being a special one?
Well, we actually won the regular season CAA 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But hopefully this is our year to get to the tournament. We have a good group of guys. Like I said, we got Rokas Gustis, Justin Wright, former Eli Pemberton. We got a JUCO junior college transfer in Kenny Wormley that will be playing the point guard spot for us. So we got a nice mix of guys, and hopefully they'll buy in on the defensive end, and we can get to the tournament.
I'm trying to think if it was 2 years, or I think it was three, the Zeke year that I think it was, I was there, I was courtside covering it. I think it was the double overtime game. Who were you guys playing? Was it UNC Wilmington?
Yeah, we played UNC Wilmington, double OT, and lost in the championship 2 years ago. It was heartbreaking. I mean, it was a hard fought game, could have went either way. We both had great years. We probably should have gotten in that large bid that year, but That's a story for that's discussion for another day, and hopefully it'll happen for us this year.
I mean, I remember that game was a classic. I think it might have been trending on Twitter. I'm pretending to be media, but inside I'm just like shaking in my boots because I mean I want us to win. I want us to get to the tournament. Oh man, that I'll always remember. Like, do those kind of games stick in your head when you lose like that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you'll never forget those. I mean, that was an opportunity of a lifetime to get back for the school, to get back to the tournament. We haven't been in quite a little bit. I mean, it would have been a special moment.
And for you, I'd imagine it'd be special because you were there in the tournament in 2000. You guys lost in the first round, but obviously for you as a Hagerty Award winner and all that you accomplished there, hot number retired, getting back kind of will be reminiscent for you, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's safe to say that I would have been the only person to do it as a coach and as a player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's a safe bet, yeah.
So it'll definitely be special for when we do get there. I mean, it's only a matter of time. I think we're building it the right way. Coach Mihalik is a great coach. Glad he gave me the opportunity to learn from him. Hopefully it's going to happen pretty soon.
And Mihalik, we know his job save. He's a very good coach. But down the line, obviously you're still young. You're not 40 yet, so there you go. You're still aging well. Do you
couple months?
Yeah, in May, you will be 40. So hopefully, after a tournament appearance, do you see yourself maybe not just as a Hofstra head coach, but as a head coach somewhere down the road?
Oh, I definitely see myself as a head coach. If not here, somewhere else. But hopefully, I get that chance and that opportunity at some point in my life.
We talked
sooner
about
rather than later.
Yeah, I mean it's coming. I mean, you're putting your time in, and maybe you're the heir to Mihalik. We'll see. Hope that would be an awesome thing to go back to Hempstead and be the head coach.
That would be the next dream come true for myself.
Yeah, and another dream come true. We talked about the heartbreak of that game, being a coach. I was watching a YouTube clip of your performance in Game 6 against at the time. I rooted for the Nets. I love Jason Kidd, and here you are schooling his bum ass. I mean, you dropped, what, 13, 14 points in that Game 6. Tony Parker's on the bench. This is the Tony Parker days when he was still young and not the established player that he was. He's struggling. Here's Speedy Claxton coming in here. You average, what, 6 points a game in the regular season. You come in and light it up like Mr. Mid-Range, like Mr. Charles Jenkins
here.
I
would never, ever forget that day. I mean, to grow up watching the NBA and the finals at that, and then to be able to be a part of it and not just be on the team but be in the game at a crucial point and actually help my team win was just an unbelievable feeling. And I mean, you'll never forget something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the moment of your career, right? I mean, you guys went on, what, 19-0 run to come back, beat the Nets, and avoid going to a Game 7. And I broke my heart as a kid, as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. I remember I watched that clip. I'm like, I do not remember this moment. But at that time, I probably hated you for making all those damn shots. That's got to be the highlight of the career, right?
Yeah, it's definitely my highlight. Like I said, I mean, to be playing in the NBA championship on the highest level and be a key contributor, it doesn't get more exciting than that. And then to do it against the Nets was even more special because, you know, it was kind of like
hometown,
somewhat of a hometown team. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people in the area was rooting for, a lot of my friends and family was rooting for the Nets being from New Jersey. So then to win it up against them was just even more special.
Yeah, so you broke more than my heart. You broke your damn family and friends' hearts. They're like, this mother effer, like, what is he doing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, making all these shots in a Game 6.
when I came back to celebrate in New York, not too many people were celebrating with me.
Nobody was popping a bottle at that time because they were all thinking, God damn it, we were this close to our first championship with the Nets. Looking back and playing with Tim Duncan, and you guys are specializing in that pick and pop. He was setting the picks. You were getting those open 16-footers.
Tim was special, man.
Yeah.
Tim was special. He was the best superstar that I got a chance to play with. In that series, he was just unbelievable. I think that game, he almost had like a quadruple double.
Wow. And playing with you played with David Robinson as well, right?
Yeah, that was David's last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a couple of last year. It was David last year. It was Steve Kerr's last year. Danny Ferry's last year.
What was it like playing against David? And he was a guy who was a CAA product, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Admiral is a stand-up guy. I remember having Bible study with him before games. I mean, he was a stand-up guy. You wouldn't really see him too much before and after practice. He was the last one to get there and the first one to leave at that point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he had an incredible career. Had a remarkable career in college that people forget about as well. He was a dominant college player.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving the Spurs, I mean, you're only there a year. You win a championship. What's going through your head? Part of you's got to be like, hey, I want to stay here, maybe get more. Or the other part's like, all right, the Warriors just offered me $10 million over 3 years. I think I got to take that. What's going through your mind at that time?
Well, of course I wanted to go back there. I mean, mm-hmm. It was an unbelievable organization to play for. But, you know, they had their up-and-coming point guard already, Tony Parker, and I kind of felt like in that point in my career, I kind of needed to play more minutes so I could be a forefront guy. So Golden State gave me $10 million over 3 years with a very good chance to start. But then later on in the summer, they traded for Nick Van Axel. So mm-hmm. I just thought that going to Golden State at that point would have been the best choice for my career going forward.
And you put up good numbers at Golden State and probably the best number scoring-wise and assist-wise in your career.
Yeah, I was playing great. Just not too many people got a chance to see me because we wasn't on prime time and then we was on West Coast time. So my East Coast family and friends didn't get a chance to see me play too much. But, yeah, I definitely put up good numbers out there.
And the Warriors also weren't as good then, correct?
Nah, not at all. Yeah. But the fan base was great. That's why I'm happy that they're so good now because that fan base, they deserved it.
Mm-hmm. Speedy Claxton joining us on the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com. Hofstra assistant basketball coach. Hofstra opening the season Friday against Army and then some big non-conference games next weekend. I mean, you look at the Warriors now, you kind of wish you had a team and a roster like they do now, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, how special is this unit? Are you a fan of super teams? Do you like watching these three or four all-stars on one team?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. They're fun to watch, but they're not fun because you know that they're going to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
So in that aspect, it's kind of boring, but they're fun to watch. I'm not a fan of the super teams because I think it kind of wore us down when it gets to the playoffs because they're going to beat everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a gift and a curse. I mean, you like to see them play together, but then it's kind of whack because it's not going to be that competitive, especially with Cleveland losing Kyrie. I mean, they're the only team that stood a chance to kind of play them competitively, but, I mean, even with Kyrie, we saw last year that they didn't stand a chance. And now without Kyrie, it's definitely a wrap.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs are struggling, and I think we like to overreact a little bit, but, I mean, they have lost six games to teams who are may not make the playoffs. Do you think, I mean, LeBron needed Kyrie. Do you think they'll get better when Isaiah Thomas is back on the court? What's going on with the Cavs?
No. They need a Kyrie. They mm-hmm. need Kyrie. Make no mistake about that. Kyrie is a special, special talent. But you really can't. I don't know. Some people say that was kind of whack for Kyrie to leave, but the man, I guess he wanted to be Batman and not Robin anymore.
And he's Batman in Boston right now. Boston's Batman. I mean, they got nine straight. They're dominating.
He's definitely Batman. I mean, he's playing well. The team is playing great. I mean, now looking at you like this, okay, maybe he made the right move. But as a fan of the game, I wanted to see him stay in Cleveland just to see somewhat of a competitive finals against Golden State.
So no love here, Speedy, for Isaiah Thomas when he comes back.
I know. Isaiah Thomas is a good player. Mm-hmm. I'm a great player, actually. I just think Kyrie's a better player. He would have fit in better with Cleveland. But, no, make no mistake about it. Isaiah Thomas is tough. I always root for the smaller guys anyway.
Yeah. I mean, are the Cavs still the cream of the crop? It's so hard to judge with Isaiah not on the floor. We need to see him healthy from a hip injury. Who knows if he could stay healthy through over the season? But he's already tweeting, like, against his naysayers, saying, hey, I still busted a bunch of point guards' ass last
season.
Yeah,
I saw when he tweeted that. that was funny.
He's still talking smack, and he's ready. I mean, is this a team that – I mean, I predicted Cavs were just because I think Isaiah is going to put them over the top and get them to the finals. But do you think – you just said, I think, that they will not beat the Warriors.
I don't think they're going to beat the Warriors at all. I think that they'll be lucky if they get one game against them. The Warriors are just too – they're just too good. They're too good. No one stands a chance against them. I wouldn't be surprised if they swept the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean – we'll see with Chris Paul's health if the Rockets could score. We know that, but they need to stay healthy as well. And I don't know if they have the depth to compete with the Warriors. They don't have a great bench. And now in the East, you even got to watch out. The Bucks now getting Bledsoe. We add Giannis and Brogdon and Middleton. How do you like what the young Bucks are doing?
I like the way the Bucks are moving. The Greek Freak is a special talent. Brogdon's turning out to be a good pro. They're getting Bledsoe. Definitely like what they're doing. It's going to be interesting to come to playoffs in the East. I mean, you still got Washington that looks pretty good. Toronto's been a top team in the last couple of years. So, I mean, I can't even say it's going to be a cakewalk for the Cavs to get to the finals.
Your former team, I went to Philly in last week and went to the Sixer game, and they're developing, and the process is being trusted, and they're looking good, and they're a team that could potentially make the playoffs. Do you see it that way in kind of the weak Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think they could possibly make the playoffs. I actually watched them play a couple of weeks ago out here at the preseason game against the Nets at the Coliseum, and they're looking good. They got some young – they definitely young and talented. Hopefully when they get Fultz back, they could get him back in the fold. And once they get him going, I mean, that's three bad boys on one team. Three number one picks, I mean, they're going to be a problem in years to come. If not this year, in 2 years, they're going to be a major problem for the league.
And not to mention Joel Embiid on Twitter is incredible. I mean, he's trash talking.
He's hilarious.
Every
good
big
for
man.
The game.
You're not on Twitter though, right?
I'm on Twitter. I'm not an active Twitterer, but I'm on there.
What is your Twitter? I didn't know you were on Twitter.
Yeah,
is
Speed
it
Demon. Nah, it's Speed. My name on Twitter is Speed Demon. Somebody took Speedy Clark, so
Speed
I had to change it up.
Oh, okay. Speedy Claxton joining us on the Jake Brown Show. All right, Hofstra opening up this weekend. Looking forward to the season. If I make my way out there, I'll try to bring you out in Amore's Chicken Parm Heroes so you can try
great.
It. All right, man. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Yep.
All right, man.